worship Him this morning. Oh, I worship Him. I worship Him in spirit and in truth. Oh, yes, I worship. Sing that verse once more. And one day He's coming back for me to live with Him eternally. Won't it be glory to see Him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song. Give a hand clap of praise to our Lord. You happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? My, He paid a debt we cannot pay. He took our place, and it's all about grace. Amen. Let's sing that chorus, I Am Blessed. And as Brother Colley comes this morning for responsive reading. How many's blessed this morning? So blessed to be here. Gather together in one heart, one accord, just to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Oh, I am blessed. Yes, I am blessed. I Lord. How many ways are we blessed this morning? Oh, just thank you for every blessing that we have. Amen. Good morning, and we're going to read Psalm 27. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful and thankful for this opportunity and this period that you have given us to come together to worship. Father, we pray that our hearts will be yielded and accept every blessing, God, that you have given unto us. Love all things in this world, Lord. Let them be yielded unto you. God, we ask you to keep Satan away from us, and Lord, and bless us. Lord, we know how he is raging in this world, Lord, trying to destroy all and hinder. But God, we are yielding ourselves unto you and pray that you would just take care of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell.
Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war shall rise against me, in this will I be confident.
One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
Be in the time of trouble, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock.
And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me.
And thou saidest, seek to my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek.
Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation.
When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up.
Teach me the way, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies.
Deliver me not according to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as read out cruelty.
I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be our good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen. Amen. So many promises that we can take in this time. There's nothing to be afraid of. He is our strength. He is our light. Amen. And all of our enemies, all of our doubts, they'll fall by the wayside. I want to ask little Jonas, would you come up here and take up the morning tithes and offering for us? Go ahead and pray. Amen. If you have your spiral songbook, let's turn to page 195. Sing this song. He is the Lord of glory. But is he your Lord of your heart? You want him to be the Lord of all in our life this morning. If not, you can surrender to him. As a word comes forth, just take it into your heart. Behold, what manner of man is this who steals a raging seas? He heals the sick, the lame, the halt, and makes the blind to see. He opens all the prison doors and sets the captive free. Behold, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is he? He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful. The Prince of Peace is he, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. Behold, what manner of man is this who healed the lame and halt, said thy sins be forgiven thee, take up thy bed and walk. He stands as a mighty healer now. Behold, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, and the end. His name. He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. His name is wonderful. The Prince of Peace is he. He's the everlasting Father throughout eternity. Amen. Let's sing that chorus, Touching Jesus, in the key of Elf. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters, and your life will never be the same. And there is only one way to touch Him. Oh, just believe. As believe when you call on His name. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. Oh, if you have a need this morning, He's here. And your life will never be the same. And there is only one way to touch Him. Just believe when you call. Let's all stand as we sing it once more as our brother comes this morning. Oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters, and your life will never be the same. For there is only one way to touch Him. Oh, just believe when you call.
He'll call your name today if you'll just listen. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see you. I can't see everybody. There's so many. Lauren, I can see you. You're tall. Good to have you back, man. Good to see you. Who's that behind you? Who's the brother behind you? Brother, God bless you. You ever been here before?
Yeah.
Well, I can't see but your eyes. Jonathan? About time. I couldn't see him. I see his eyes. Well, yeah, you've been here since you was a baby. Good to have you here. Good to be in the house of the Lord. And I've got a problem. A real problem. Usually when I see one of Daddy's brothers, I tell them that they're my favorite uncle until the other one shows up. So I got both of them here today, and I don't know what to do. Y'all both my favorite uncles, okay? Hey, man, this is Daddy's old brother and older brother, and then he's the baby of the bunch. So good to have them with us today, Marshall and John. Marshall told me he was retired, and he said that for about 45 years. So he said he'd been preaching 62 years, right? Didn't you tell us? 62 years he's been preaching the gospel, Methodist preacher. Amen. He's buried them and married them. Hopefully not in that order. Good to see y'all in the house of the Lord, though. And we have another visitor. Janine, who's that besides you there? Huh? Hmm? Part of your family. Well, how do we not know that? You're part of our family. Okay, well, good to have you with us today. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. And that's your husband there with you? Okay, God bless you. Just enjoy yourself. We serve a living God. We don't serve a dead God. And we are aware that it's the end time. And we know that all this confusion that's going on in the world, if you're not a Christian, you're just probably going to be crazy after about the end of this year. When all this other stuff starts coming up. So, by way of announcement, who gets the, my brother's in Myrtle Beach or Hilton Head, and he usually gives these out to the people. Yeah, Thomas, come here. Thomas, let's. These are the quotes that T usually gives out. So whoever gets them, raise your hand. I know Brother Colley gets one. There's three up here. I may not have made enough, but we'll get them. And we have a note. Oh, my goodness. This is from Harmony Bonnet. And we'll pray when we start. Pray for Angie. She's getting bullied at school, and she's wanting to kill herself. Children are cruel children when they're not brought up right. And they are the biggest bullies you can have in school, is to have somebody that's like that. So we're going to pray that the Lord will move on that situation. So remember, Brother Aaron will be preaching for us Wednesday night. Okay, he's back there. All right, and Brother Terrence is gone there in Hilton Head, South Carolina, with the family. Also, there's a sign-up sheet downstairs. We're going to try to do this. We were talking about doing it Sunday. Then we were talking about doing it Saturday. But I think after talking to June, I think what we'll do is let's try this. That will be on Friday, September the 17th at 7 o'clock. There's a sign-up sheet downstairs for it's called the Oaks Putt-Putt, or the Oaks Mini Golf. It's in Oakwood. We can have it for our own self, the whole church, from 7 to like 9 o'clock, I think. So that will be a sign-up sheet for Friday. That way you can go and eat something, get your meal, and we won't have to waste time eating. You can eat, get there at 7 o'clock. Come on in, Daniel. And then we'll start playing putt-putt, and then the church will pay for all your putt-putt doings, and then they'll have ice cream there at the facility for playing putt-putt. So if you want to go on Friday, any of you need to stay over, you can stay with each, you know, all of it. We can put people up for Friday into Saturday. Also, remember September the 25th and the 26th, Brother Andrew Glover will be here. We'll have our regular youth meeting on that Saturday, starting at about 3-ish. And we'll have our regular service, just like we did with Brother Hyatt a couple of weeks ago, and invite youth to come. And we'll have questions and answers. We'll have food for the young people. And we will get more with you as we go on as to who needs to help in that. So All mine's clear. If you got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Hebrews. And I know Marshall and John's not used to these long services, so it'll be okay. Listen, if Jesus Christ can hang on a cross for 3 hours with nails in his hand, beat like hamburger meat, we can set for a 2-hour service. He saved my soul doing that. Amen. Maybe this will save yours. Hebrews 9, verse 11. Let's pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, we pray today, Lord, number one, that you'll bless this girl named Angie. Lord, in this school, Father, we know that the devil's a cruel person and he uses people. Lord, I pray that that devil will stop doing what he's doing to this little girl. And that you'll cover him, Lord, as Brother Bob said, Lord, the angels are encamped about those that believe you, Father. So I know this little girl needs you, Lord. And we pray that you'll put those angels around her, Lord, and that bullying part will stop. Lord, we know you're a God that comes on the scene, Lord, if we ask, because we're your children. We're not as the angels where you created them for worship, but Lord, you created us to be your children. Sons and daughters of God, to live on the earth. And as Brother Ernie always said, we're a supernatural being come down here to have a human experience. And Lord, this experience, Lord, is what's going to carry us through, Father. We pray now that you'd be with each one that's under the sound of my voice. Heal the sick, Lord. Be with the ones that are sick. Be with the Brother Jim Babb's family there, Lord, in Happy Valley that passed on, Lord. We pray that you'd comfort them, comfort that church, Lord, as they're going through a battle. We pray that you'd comfort each of your bride around the world, Lord, that you'll be with each one. May we continue this service, Lord, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we've been on this. This is part 31, so I'm going to have to background just a little bit for the new ones that are here. So let's read Hebrews 9, verse 11. Now, the whole theme of the service is going to be eternal redemption, all right, because we needed redeeming. We were lost, undone, come to the world speaking lies, part of the devil's economy. Amen? Right? And then we had to be redeemed. We had to be called back, or we had to be taken out of the pawn shop. We had to be pulled up out of the mire and the muck. And who did it? Jesus Christ. But Christ being coming high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. You like that, Marshall? You can see that. It's got big letters. Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now remember, he was the eternal one, but his body was not eternal. His body had to die as a sacrifice, according to the Old Testament. In Isaiah 53, that he gave his soul a ransom, but he gave his body as a sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. All right, let's go to Revelation 11, verse 3, because we're going to talk about the two witnesses. I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, which is 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Now let's go to Isaiah 65. I hope we'll get to this afternoon. Isaiah 65, verse 17 says, Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. How many of you are new creatures in Christ? Amen. Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. Listen, we're not going to live on this sin-soaked earth all of our life. This thing's going to be renovated. It's going to be changed. And the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. You may be seated, and the Lord adds blessing to the reading of the word. Now, as we continue this, let's go to Matthew 16, and we'll start right here. Because Jesus told us, he said, they wanted to know, Lord, who are you? And he said, well, they said, well, you were Jeremiah, and you were one of the prophets, and some of the people called him Beelzebub, and some called him this, and some called him that. And Jesus said, well, who do you say that I am? In other words, his followers, the very people that was with him. He asked them, said, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter, I like Peter, he pops up and speaks a lot. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock, listen, a lot of people think that the church was built on Peter. The Catholic Church says Peter's the first pope, yet they won't let popes have wives. And Peter had a wife because Jesus healed his mother-in-law. Pretty sensible. So it wasn't Peter. And then upon a rock, it's not a rock. God's not built upon a rock. But what is it? It's a revelation. Rock means revelation. Upon this revelation, I will build my church. Not the church nominal, but the church, the people that are the living sons and daughters of God in the gates of hell is going to be here, but it won't prevail against us. And that's what we're looking at now. The gates of hell is going to be here. Then the Bible says there's no weapon formed, so there's going to be a weapon that is formed that can stand against this Word of God. That's why we believe to get back to the Word of God, stay in the Word of God, and the Word of God will tell us what we're doing. And like Bob was talking today, we're not scared of prophets because Amos 2:3-7 says the Lord will do nothing unless He reveals it to His servants, the prophets. All right, so men have problems with prophets. I don't have a problem with them. If we didn't have prophets, you wouldn't have a Bible. The only problem is the prophet we believe came in the end time was so contrary to all the others, but wasn't Jesus very contrary to all the... Anyway, they called him Beelzebub, and he was God. So now let's look right here and see. He said, I'll build my church. That's okay. No, go ahead. He said, I'll build my church. Jesus didn't say, I'll let you build your church. He said, I'll build my church on this revelation of the Son of God, which the Son of God is what? God in spirit form that came on the day of Pentecost, right? The baptism of the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, I'll send you a comforter in my name. So it wasn't another person, it was the same guy, just immorphed into another form called the baptism of the Holy Ghost, fell on 120 in the upper room, according to the book of Acts, right? And said, I'll be with you even in you to the end of the world. Not just with you, I'll be in you to the end of the world. But then we look at the... He says, now he kept calling himself son of man, and I was talking to Brother Russ yesterday, and I want you to get this real good, and it may be foreign for some, but that's okay. But remember, the wise virgins that we used as an analogy a couple of Sundays ago, the wise virgins is what? They got oil. They got the Holy Ghost. Right? Remember, there was 10 of them. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. The 5 wise virgins went to heaven. The 5 foolish virgins stayed on earth. Because when the bridegroom called, the 5 woke up and they had oil. The oil is what? Signifies the Holy Ghost. All right? Don't get scared. It is a ghost. But it's holy. Some people have ghosts and they're not so holy. So, but if you got the Holy Ghost, that's God Himself. So they got the Holy Ghost, though, so that made them children of God. The wise virgins had oil in their lamp. They got ready to go. But now remember, the foolish virgins didn't go because they didn't have oil in their lamp. Right? Oil signifies the Holy Ghost, so they didn't get the Holy Ghost. Sure, they might have been good church members because they were virgins. Amen? They were virgins, but they did not continue on with God and take further revelation of what God had for your day. Not Luther's day, not Wesley's day, not Pentecostal's day, not even yesterday. Amen. But today. Yes. Amen. It's a today God. Yes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the Son of God down through the church ages, that's what Jesus said, I'll build my church on that. And then a foolish virgin is going to come up and they're going to, what? They're going to be given eternal life. But they didn't get it here. Something caused them not to get the Holy Ghost. In other words, they may sit in a church where it says, well, you just need to shake hands or you just need to shake somebody or you just need to speak in tongues. We don't believe if that's all there is to it. It's the life behind it. Amen. Amen. Live me a sermon. Don't worry about preaching it. Live it. So we were discussing yesterday, but remember there's a part that we're going to skip to where we see that Paul says, we which are alive and remain. Yes. Yeah. Now see, that's a different group. Amen. Alive means you don't have to be resurrected. Right. Now I'm telling you what the Bible says. I believe there's a group of people that's going to stand on this earth and death will not have a hold on them. Right. Amen? Right. And we can believe it's you if you want to. I'm just dumb enough to believe it's me. Right. All right? I'm just dumb enough to believe it's, well, me. Okay, thank you. But Paul says, I'll show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That's a mystery. A mystery had to be brought to us by a prophet. We didn't get this by our own intelligence. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. What? Somebody's going to stand and be alive. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Amen. For the trumpet shall sound. It's not a doot, doot, doot. It's not Brother Paul picking up a trumpet and somebody's going to walk out in the middle of the graveyard and blip, 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 blip. That's too obvious. I thought this was going to be a secret. I thought this was going to be a secret catching away. I thought he was going to come as a thief in the night to come and get us. And the graves are not going to be opened, as they say, opened. You're not going to go out there and see a mound of dirt thrown off. Yeah, I know, that's silly, but people believe that. You know, the only reason Jesus rolled the stone off was to show me and you that he came out. I mean, in a glorified body, I believe he stepped through a wall about several hours after he was resurrected. He just walked right through a wall. So he didn't have to pull that stone away. But remember, the seal of death was broke. So he had to signify to the world that that seal was open, and he stepped out and said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. All right? Is everybody with me? And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Changed from what? Changed from these vile bodies that we are. Into young people, as Abraham and Sarah were changed back to have children. That's another great mystery that we see in the Bible. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And we see that God, by this eternal redemption, we know that by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you and I are now eternal in our soul, sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen. But this thing's not. This is the one you got to work on, or we're going to have to do the ashes to ashes, dust to dust thing. Everybody got that? Because we're heading toward a grave. We're heading toward it. I didn't say we had to get in it. I said we're heading toward it. Because there's going to be somebody. Now read your Bible. Roll it back down. We shall not all sleep. So there had to be a message come, not above and beyond man's comprehension, but above and beyond man's comprehension. You understand what I mean? Because how many people have heard we're all going to die? You all going to die. We all going to die. Well, somebody is, and they do it every day. But somebody is going to have to fulfill this 1 Corinthians 15. And then another scripture where he says, we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not what? Prevent or hinder those which are asleep, for the trumpet of God. There's that trumpet again. Right. Now what is a trumpet? As we look and see trumpet is a message. Yes. Right. What does a trumpet do? It sounds a battle. It actually gives you communication. Right. Back when there was no communication, you know, the old Indians used to do the smoke signals. But back when there was a trumpet, there was a certain sound that a trumpet made to either charge or retreat, because your battleground was spread out all over miles. And you couldn't communicate that quick. But if you blew that trumpet and it was the right sound, you knew what to do. You didn't have to have somebody, you knew what to do when you heard the message. You did what the trumpet said. So that's what we're not looking for. We're not looking for a trumpet that stands outside in a graveyard and toot, 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 and you see this arm push up out of the... No, come on. That's silly. That's old wives' tales. It has no foundation in the Bible. I promise you that. So now let's go to Revelations 4:1. We'll try to hurry through this, but I want to kind of background a little bit. Because now that we see... I tell you what, pull the chart up. The first chart, not the Daniel 70 weeks chart, pull the first chart up that I did a long time ago. And this is what we're looking at now. Just pull it up. There you go. So we got Jesus resurrected. He goes to hell and preached to the souls in prisons, according to Matthew 27. All right. Now, he's here for 40 days. Acts 1 verse 3, what happens? Jesus ascends. He takes that glorified body up into another dimension. Right? Then he sends not the body back. He sends the Holy Spirit back that was the motivator inside of him. He sends it back on the day of Pentecost. Is everybody all right with that? Amen? What did I tell y'all about amening? When we got visitors. Sometimes you say stuff and they're like, nobody says amen, and the visitors are going, they don't believe what he's saying either. But we do. I know you do. You wouldn't be sitting here every Sunday if you didn't. Amen? Okay. What? Well, that's what I thought. Goodness gracious. We need to go. Anna, can you come teach this class? It's like kindergarten. Okay. So he sends the Holy Ghost back on the day of Pentecost, and it's the new birth, because your first birth was wrong. Amen. You needed a new birth. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. From where? Above, not from your mom and daddy, because look what he said in his carnal mind. I got to go back and get in my mama's womb and be birthed again. Jesus said, no, that's your problem. You came out the first time. Right? But you need to be birthed from above. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. 120 little sons of God. I'll build my church. Jesus said, on this rock, Revelation, I'll build my church. The revelation that God did come back, not as the third person of a Trinity. Sorry. No such thing in the Bible. We don't believe the cutting him up in three pieces. It was the same person. In the form of the Holy Ghost. In what? In the believers, as Bob was talking about. Then you've got people that are not angels with wings. You've got earthly angels that come down and preach a sermon, that come down according to Revelations 1, 2, and 3, that you see Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, and well know that we know more about Wesleyan Lutheran Wesley and the prophet in the end time than we do all these others. But remember, they had to be here because of the Gentile church age. Is everybody okay with that? Right. Well, there is a Gentile that, listen, God's not dealing with the Jews at the moment. Right. Now, he may be dealing with them individually and birthing them in the body of Christ as born again Christians, but not as the nation of Israel. Right. Paul said blindness in part, right, has come to Israel until the Gentile nations, in other words, be gathered together, and we take a rapture, just like we're going to read here in Revelations 4:1. So after the church ages are over, excuse me, there's going to be a resurrection. And then after that resurrection, then what are we going to have according to Revelations 4:1? Let's go to there now. This is John on Patmos. He said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice, which I heard, as it were a trumpet talking with me, said, come up hither. See, there's no rapture word in the Bible. It's catching away or coming up. All right? Remember, rapture is ecstasy or the epitome of what something that's going on. The rapture is going to happen because we come up, because we're raptured out of this age. Come up hither. Look, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and three sat on the throne. What does that say? One sat on the throne. Amen? One sat on the throne. All right, so now the church age is over. The bride's in glory, according to the Bible. We don't go through the tribulation. Have y'all forgot what I just said a minute ago? Hard group today. So let's go back to the chart. So we've been raptured. So we're out of here. So now what happens is God turns where? According to Revelations 7. Is that right? According to Revelation 7. And Revelations 11. He gets two witnesses right here. There's two prophets. See, we're not scared of prophets. They're good for us. Right. Revelations 11, there's two prophets. There's two prophets that come on the scene. But let's go to Matthew 24:21, because when the church leaves, now when the bride leaves, God is going to turn to the Jews according to Revelation 11, right?
Amen.
All right? So that's what's going to happen. And what's going to happen to the foolish virgin? Remember, the foolish virgin had to stay here because the bridegroom call came. The wise virgins left the foolish virgins here, and there was weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth.
That's right.
Amen? So it wasn't a really nice place that they found themselves in because they didn't have the Holy Ghost, okay? And then what God does is he removes himself from the Gentile church and he goes and opens the eyes of the Jews because he promised to in Revelation 11. But now let's go back to the chart. I mean, let's go back to Matthew. Go to the next one. Now the tribulation, now watch, this is Matthew 24. This is Jesus speaking. He says, for then shall be great tribulation. Now look, we have tribulation every day. This virus and all this stuff, and it, work is tribulation. Some of you that don't have to go to work tomorrow. But we have tribulation, but not a great tribulation. This great tribulation is the wrath of God poured out upon a sinning world. They're sinning now with us in it, but the reason that God's not pouring out his complete wrath is because what? His bride's here. His children are still here. I mean, we're still here, but once we leave, he's only going to deal with 144,000. Right? The whole world is going to be in chaos. They're just going to start, well, it'll be a lawless world. You know, man's good. As long as there's a law. Because without a law, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, thank God, there should be no flesh be saved. For the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So who's the elect? Us. We're the elect of God. We're the ones that are holding off the wrath of God. And we, once we get out of here though, it's not going to hold the wrath of God. And it's going to be, let's go to Revelation 2. We'll see. Now Jesus is talking. He says, now, because remember, on the Isle of Patmos, John was commissioned to write what he saw. All right. And then the one standing in the midst of the golden candlesticks, likened to the Son of Man, he was the one that was talking to John. Who was that? That was Jesus Christ. All right. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess. Remember, she elevated herself in Israel, and Ahab was just as bad as she was. But watch what this is, because remember, a woman is a type of the what? Church. Always, a woman is a type of the church in the Bible. This woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication. Now look, that's not natural. You take any other doctrine besides the true doctrine of the Bible, you're committing fornication. That's what the Bible says. And to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent. How long did he give her? 2,000 years. 2,000 years to repent of all the junk that we went through. I mean, God's not this confused. But look what happened. She repented not. The church, nominal, repented not. Behold, God. Jesus Christ. I will cast her into a bed and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Except they repent of their deeds. You've still got a little chance left. Amen? So let's go to Revelation 13:4. Now this is what's going to happen the way we see it according to the Bible after we leave. That this is what's going to happen. And they worship the dragon. Now, it's not a dragon. It's a symbol of a person with some authority and power. Which gave power unto the beast. It's not some big beast standing up there. Listen, folks, let me tell you something. All these analogies that we see in the Bible. Now, probably Uncle Marshall could go through them better than I could. But that's not going to be a beast, like an animal. It's a symbol of a person with power. Everybody got that? Because remember, what does a horn mean in the Bible? Power. What does water in the Bible mean? Many people, tongues, and nation. So God is using these symbols, and they worship the beast, it must be one person saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? So there, somebody's going to rise up. And listen, he's not going to look like a beast. He's a slicker. Uncle John, Satan is not a red guy with a tail. He's met a few, maybe. But he's a slick guy. He's deceived everybody but just a little group of people. A deceiver is somebody that's so close to the very thing that you're worshiping. Remember, he wanted to be like God. Then he sits in the temple as God in the end, as the beast that has power, because who's going to be able to make war with him? We're talking about this whole world. Who's going to be able to make war with this guy? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue how long? 42 months. How long is that? 3.5 years. Same time that the two witnesses are preaching their gospel to the 144,000. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God and to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindred, tongues, and nations. This guy's pretty powerful. And he's a slicker, though. He's going to bring you in, did not the Bible say, with flattery? Oh, it's just come to my church. It'll be all right. Wait a minute, you did. Stop. And all that dwell upon the earth, look, all. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, not God, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All will worship this man, thinking he's a religious head of something. You can call it the Pope or whatever, whoever you want to call it. I don't care. We're not going to be here to see it. We're going to be gone. Amen? We're going to be out of here. We're not going to worry about this. Because everybody else is going to be deceived by him. Look, except those whose names are written, the ones that are not written is going to be deceived. The ones whose names in the book of life, which is what? The Genesis 21:26 person. His own children. All right, let's go to Revelation 3 now and see what happens. Now God says, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Now how long is that? 3.5 years. You say, no, that don't add up. Remember, God's calendar is 30 days, not 31 and 29 and 28. God's calendar is 30-day calendar. All right? So 30 days into that will be 3.5 years, 42 months. These are the two olive trees. Now what olive always is? Israel, the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire. Now listen, they're not fire-breathing dragons. What is fire? God's anointing that what they say is going to come to pass. Fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Remember I said before, don't you think these two witnesses are going to pop on the scene? People hate Israel anyway. They're going to really hate them when we leave. But these two witnesses are going to stand right in the middle of that. And they're going to preach Jesus Christ and the Mossad, the FBI, the KGB, the CIA. They're all going to want to kill these two men. And you know what? They're going to try. Because if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to what? Shut heaven. Now who shut heaven in the days of the Old Testament? One more time.
Elijah.
Thank you. Elijah, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy and have power over waters to turn them to blood. What man turned it to blood? Let everybody else talk, okay? You're right up here in the front. It's always the kids in the front. Oh. But no, who turned water to blood? Moses. All right? So the spirit of Moses and Elijah, it will not be the two men, it will be the spirit of Moses and Elijah that will go to, because listen, whether we believe in prophets or not, Israel surely believes in them. They are looking for Elijah, according to Malachi 4, before the great and terrible day of the Lord. They're looking for an Elijah to show up. And as I preached a long time ago, remember, They put a cup when they have their Seder or the end of their year, they put a cup there and it's not got anything in it, but they're waiting on Elijah to show up. They go out in the yard and they look this way and they look this way. And if they don't see a man walking down the road, it looks like Elijah. They take the cup, put it back up on the shelf and say, until next year. So they're looking for Elijah. So when this man comes on the scene that's able to shut the heaven, their mind's going to go back to that Old Testament. They're going to say, Elijah's finally here. But they're going to think the Messiah is coming to get them. Right? But remember, they were blinded. The Messiah's already come. But the revelation is going to be when God pulls the veil off of Israel's eyes, because blindness was given to them in part for me and you. But when they start doing this, the whole world's going to see it, but there's going to be 144,000, and we'll read that here in just a minute, or maybe I took that out. But remember, the Bible says that there's a 12,000 out of each tribe. 12 times 12 is, hold on, 12 times 12 is what? You got it right. She didn't hear what I said the other day, so that's okay. Yeah, 144,000, 12,000 out of each tribe. And when they shall have finished their testimony, in other words, after 42 months, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war. Now, it's not going to beast. It's not going to climb out of a pit. You understand what I mean? It's that man that's been in power the whole time. But he can't kill them because of the 1260-day prophecy. Right? But once that 1260-day prophecy is over, the anointing comes off the two witnesses, and he is able to what? Kill them. All right? So he's going to kill them. All right, so now let's go to Daniel 9, verse 24. We might not get to the millennium today. That's okay. Daniel 9, 24. Remember the book of Daniel? It's the same as the book of Revelations to me and you. The book of Daniel is the same prophecy that gives Israel their prophecy in the end time. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to do six things. Finish the transgression of who? Israel. This is not me and you. We're already gone. Alright? To make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So there's 70 weeks, and we know instead of going through all the whole long dissertation, it wasn't 70 exact weeks, it was 70 times 7, which is 490 years. And it's kind of strange that a man looked at Jesus one time and says, how many times do I need to forgive my brother? Seven times? No, Jesus said 70 times 7, which is 490 years. That's how long he gave for Israel to repent. Everybody good with that? Amen? Thank you, sister. So now what are they going to go through, though? Let's stop for a minute. So they're going to be 70 weeks are determined. We know that 69 weeks is already over with. There's 1 week left. There was a Gentile church age put in between there. All right? Because God's not dealing with the Jews as a nation now. None at all. Right? Not at all. He's only dealing with the Gentiles. But when he leaves the Gentile, goes to the Jews, they're going to those two prophets, prophesy 1260 days according to the Bible. But what's going to happen during that time? Let's go to the next, go to the next scripture, which is Jeremiah 30, verse 7. And I kind of flew through this Wednesday night, and I'll kind of stop just a minute. It says, alas for that great day, day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, the Bible talks about, who was Jacob? He's a Jew. Jacob was a Jew. All right? Now, remember, what does Jacob's name mean in the Bible? Shyster. Remember, his name was changed to Israel because he wrestled with God. Just like me and you get a name changed when we wrestle with God and wrestle it out, get the new birth, we're called Christians. All right? So it is even the time of Jacob's trouble, because he was a shyster. Remember, he stole the birthright. He did all those things wrong when he was a young guy. Look, he was a con man of the con men. Him and his father-in-law Laban were the two of the best con men. They couldn't go to Las Vegas. They'd kick them out. Because they conned each other the whole time. I mean, Jacob had to con him to get Leah, to get Rachel, and work 7 years, and somehow Laban slipped Leah in. Somehow, I don't know how that happened. But then he had to marry her, and then he had to work 7 more years. So anyway, you see Jacob's trouble. But look, but he shall be saved out of it. Now, we can go into the Old Testament, and we did. How many times God told Israel, said, I've divorced you. You've went whoring. You've done other things that you're not. You've worshipped other gods. You've Moloch and Baal, El Baal, and all those. They worship those people. Right? So God said, I'm going to put you away. But I'm not going to forget you. You're my people. You're the one I started with. You're my people. I'm not going to deny you or get rid of you. But you're going to go through Jacob's trouble. You're going to go through persecution. Just like when we do something wrong as a Christian, what do we go through? Persecution. Amen? But he shall, look, but here's the promise. But he shall be saved out of it. How? By the two witnesses going to preach to 144,000 in Israel and save them from their sins. They're going to preach what? Jesus Christ. A Jesus Christ that they've already crucified. Because remember they said, and I think I took it out, but remember they said, where'd you get those scars? He said, in the house of my friends. So they mourn, and just like when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, all right? For it shall come to pass in that day, now we're reading the Bible, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and the stranger shall no more serve themselves of him. Remember, what did God tell them? He said, I'm going to, because we're going to read this in a minute. God said, Israel, I'm going to scatter you all over the world. Right? I'm going to destroy your temple. Remember, the temple was destroyed like 16 different times. Every time they build it, somebody tear it down. Because they hated them Jews. Listen, they knew if those Jews had a temple, God was going to come to that temple. So if they destroyed the temple, they didn't have to destroy the people. They destroyed the temple. But look here. So he dispersed them. But they're back now in their homeland, remember? But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, who I will raise up unto them. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar and thy seed from the land of their captivity. When he dispersed the Jews, he sent them into all nations. Right? Then Russia kicked them out. Then Germany tried to kill them all. The only thing they feel safe over here is because we don't persecute them like the other people do. But they're rich people. The Jews are rich people. Inherently, they're business people. And the world hates them because they got money. I mean, really, look, you read about Hitler. Hitler really didn't hate the Jews for being a Jew. They hated the Jews because they had all the money, and he was trying to fund his campaign of war, and they said, you can fund it all you want to, but you're not using our money. He said, that's okay. He said, I'll just kill you and take it. Right. That's what he did. 6 million of them. Mm-hmm. And Jacob shall return and shall be in rest. We're heading into the millennium, which is a rest. And be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make, look, every nation is going to that battle of Armageddon. According to the Bible, according to Daniel, you've got the 10 kingdoms that come together under this one head of whoever you want to call him, Pope or whoever, which is the beast. And they're going to be very powerful and try to take over the world. But look, God said, look, though I make full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee. In other words, he's going to make full end of the United States, Russia, China, yet will I not make full end of thee. What a promise. But I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. He hadn't. Look how the Jews have been persecuted since they hung him on a cross. By the millions they've been killed just because they're Jews. That's why I thank God in the fifth seal that there's a fifth seal Jew that's given eternal life, given white robes for their stand of who they are. Is everybody okay with that? It's the word. You got that right. Now look. Let's go to Revelation 6 verse 12. And I think we'll continue this afternoon. We got plenty of time this afternoon, not so much this morning. But we hadn't even got to the tribulation. We got part of the tribulation. Now look, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. Now this is the Bible. And lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth. Now, we've not seen the day like that, have we?
No.
Okay. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, and even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. Sounds like some kind of nuclear something, doesn't it? And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains. We look up to all these people. And that's okay to give honor where honor is due. Yeah, yeah. But just because Bill Gates has got 70-something billion dollars, that don't make him a Christian.
Right.
He's going to be a part of this group right here if he don't repent.
Right.
Let's just be real.
Amen.
We all going to come to a place where nothing you got here is going to do you any good.
Right.
Except what's inside of you.
Amen.
Amen. And the mighty men and every bondman and every freeman, they hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. There's that one sitting on the throne. And from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Who shall be able to stand? There's nobody going to be able to stand. Let's read Revelations. Let's skip that quote. Let's go to Revelation 7 verse 1. Now watch. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth holding the four winds of the earth. Now what does winds mean in the Bible?
War.
They're holding the four wars that the wind should not blow on the earth nor on the sea or any tree. And I saw another angel ascend from the east having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees. In other words, there's not going to be a last war until those 144,000 are sealed. We think we've been through World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, the skirmish that was over in Afghanistan and different places. But they're looking at a battle of Armageddon that's going to destroy everything. And God's not going to let that happen until we leave and the 144,000 leave. Because look, I'm going to take what he promised. He said, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now remember we talked about last week about the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is not the virus. The mark of the beast is not the shot. The mark of the beast is not a tattoo. The mark of the beast is in your forehead. It's your attitude toward God and his word. Amen? You're not going to find this 666 tattooed somewhere on everybody's body. Are they going to remember when the barcodes came out years ago? Everybody said, oh, that's the mark of the beast. No! The mark of the beast is that beast that's going to make you think you're so religious and you're worshiping the devil. Amen? And without the Holy Ghost, you're still worshiping him now. I'm not going to get loud. I got older people in the building. So, I'm conserving my energy. This afternoon I may let loose. But I heard the number of them which were sealed. Now what is sealed? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Alright? Remember, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God whereby you are sealed until the day of your redemption. So he has to seal the 144,000. Preach a message to them through two prophets. They accept Jesus Christ. They know that they killed him 2,000 years ago. They said, oh, we're in so much big trouble. And what does two witnesses say? Don't worry. It was done to preserve life.
Right.
It was done to preserve the Gentile bride. Now they're gone. Now we're going to preach salvation to you. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. All right? So that has nothing to do with Gentiles. That's the two witnesses preaching 1260 days, and they're going to seal 144,000. Because remember, God doesn't deal with Israel as individuals.
That's right.
He deals with Israel as a nation. He deals with Gentiles as individuals. Many tongues, nations. You're going to read in many couple of scriptures we're going to read, not now, but later on, where there's this multitude of people comes up. And they said, John, who is these people? He said, I don't know. And the angel said, well, I know who it is. He said, the one that's come out of tribulation. The ones that give their life for God and all these different things, because you know what? John didn't know him because he was a Jew. They were the Gentile church age. All right? Everybody okay with that? All right, let's go right here and then we'll stop. What's the next one? All right, so let's stop. We'll do this and then we'll stop right here. Musicians, get ready to come. And who's this he? All right? According to what we read in the Bible, everybody okay with that? According to what we read in the Bible, God will never break a covenant. God cannot break a covenant. He's a covenant maker. We're the covenant breaker. Right? He made a covenant with God in the Old Testament. I mean, he made a covenant with Adam in the Old Testament. He said, eat that tree, don't eat that one. You eat this one, you'll live. You eat that one, you'll die. Right? Now, who broke the covenant? God didn't. Man went over there and ate that tree, and God said, okay, you broke your covenant. Now you're going to have to die. But what did he do with Abraham, though? He said, Abraham, I will. So it was an unconditional covenant. That's what me and you live under now, is an unconditional covenant. By grace are you saved through faith. All right. So this he person right here is going to break this covenant. Because look, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, which 1 week equals 7 years. And in the midst of the week, in 3.5 years that he's letting these two witnesses preach, because he can't do nothing about it, because the Bible says he's not going to do anything about it. He can't, because they got an anointing on him, right? So in the midst of the week, which what's in the midst of 7? 3.5. He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Who's this he? That's the Antichrist. That's the beast. That's the Pope. That's the whoever you want to call him. He comes in and says, I'm God. Israel says, no, you're not. He says, I'll show you I'm God. And he'll perform signs and wonders. And everybody that's not sealed of those 144,000 will just fall right in line. Amen? Because without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're serving the devil anyway. I don't care who you are. There's not no gray area in God. You're either born again or you're not. Amen? And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. What is the consummation? That whole last week of Daniel's 70 weeks. If 69 weeks was before at Calvary, then there's 1 week left for the Jews. We're in the middle of it now. This is where we're at. We're in the middle of it now. They prophesied 3.5 years, and then they're killed in the streets of Jerusalem. Remember we read that last Sunday. Let's read it now, Revelations 11:7, and we'll stop right there. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom, where our Lord was crucified. Where was he crucified? Jerusalem. All right. And they of the people and all kindred and tongue and nation shall see. Now this probably was hard for John to write, because John didn't have CNN, NBC, CBS, Fox News, Reuters, right? Because the whole world is going to see their dead bodies laying in that street. The whole world is going to hate these two witnesses so bad, till as soon as they die, they're not even going to bury them, so they're desecrating their body. They're leaving them there for 3.5 days. 3.5 what? 3.5 days. And shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. And look, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry. These people are crazy. They just killed two men, showed it to the whole world. And you see them laying there, and I'm sure the cameras are turned on them. But here comes God. He always comes on the scene. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another. They hated them. Because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. But now remember, they didn't torment 144,000. So the 144,000 is not in this group that's persecuting these two witnesses. I believe they're being persecuted too. You and I both do believe that. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God enters into them and they stand on their feet. Boy, 6 o'clock news. Oh, buddy. Yeah. And they stood on their feet and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, what do we read in Revelations 4? Come up hither. In other words, they're going to take a rapture. They're going to get off the earth. And they ascended up to heaven in the cloud and their enemies beheld them. Now, if you continue reading, musicians come. If you'll continue reading, there was a great earthquake after that that destroyed a bunch of stuff. And then all heck's going to break loose for the Battle of Armageddon. And we'll talk about that this afternoon. You love the Lord? Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing a song if you have a need. God bless you. Thank you for all y'all that come. And you're welcome anytime. We have service at 2 o'clock this afternoon if you want to come back, because we have a lot of people that travel a long distance. And we don't want them to go back home and then come back here. So we have service at 2 o'clock. So we will sing a song. Go ahead.
That day when I was born again was a glad day.
You remember that day?
When I was born again. Glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. Oh, the sins I used to do, no more.
Has come a ways to be here with us, Lord.
I do.
He believes where he's at is the right place.
I used
now
to
I
do.
Pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will bless
no
our
more.
Body.
It was a glad
now in his body, that you will make that body yield to that one that's inside of him. And Lord, that he'll be healed, Lord, and that thing will be taken away from him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan, you can't do this. This is not your property. This is the Lord's property. And Lord, we pray that you'll come on the scene and manifest yourself in our brother, Lord, and we'll hear a good report. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Oh, it's a glad day when I was born again. Glad day when I was born again. You love the Lord? Glad day when I was born again. Was a glad day when I was born again.
Oh, the sins I used to do, I do them no more. Sins I used to do, I do them no more. Sins I used to do, I do them no more. It was a glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. Glad day when I was born again. Glad day when I was born again. It was a glad day when I was born again. And the sins I used to do, I do them no more. Sins I used to do, do them no more. No more. It was a glad glad day when I was born again. Oh, glad day when I was born again. Glad day when I was born again.
Now I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that you'll give our brother the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, that he'll serve you for the rest of his life and not care about anything else or what the world says. That Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that our brother, Lord, will raise up out of this thing, Lord. And that you'll be, Lord, prevalent in his life. And Lord, he'll do the things that he's supposed to do to have you, Father. We pray, Lord, that you'll touch his family, Lord, and all the ones, Lord, that have anything to do with him, Father. And Lord, we know that this situation, Lord, it bothers a lot of us, Lord, in different times of our life. Now I pray, Lord, that you said you would take it away. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that you take that away. But that not be a sign, but let the sign be that our brother, Lord, comes to you, Lord, and starts reading the Word of God and starts crying out to you, Lord, in the middle of the night or in the daytime. And, Lord, that he'll be just so full of you, Lord, till he'll just burst out with shoutings of joy, Lord. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you don't worry about it. Listen, get that guy in there. So much love, Father, till he'll receive you, Lord. And in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, open our brother's heart that he'll be able to feel you, Lord, in the still of the night. And all the things that he's had in his life, Lord, the pressures of life and all these different things will be taken away from him, Lord. And his day is this day. This is the day of his salvation, Lord. And that you'll, Lord, pour your spirit out upon our brother, Lord. And not just anointing, Lord, but, Lord, fill him completely with the Holy Ghost. And that you'll bless him, Lord, and take care of him, Father. In the road that he takes, Lord, it needs to be with you, Father. Now we pray, Lord, that he'll make that decision to do that, Lord. And that you'll give him the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Lord. And it'll help our brother, Lord, to do the things he's supposed to do, Father. Bless him, Lord. You just hang on, Jonathan. You just hang on, buddy. You just hang on. He needs the Holy Ghost. You just hang on, man. This is where you need to be. Don't let the devil tell you not. You hear me? You know what's true. You've been raised right. Let God raise you now. Okay? I love you, man. You need me. You know where I'm at. I love you, buddy.
Before you, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Amen. You love the Lord? Listen, I wouldn't walk out this door without God in my heart. I would not walk out this door. Because you don't know what's out there. The devil's after you. He wants you. You got to not want him. As I tell you before, I want one person in this building to be uncomfortable, and that's the devil. I don't want him to be comfortable in this house. I don't want him to be comfortable in this house. Amen? We know we've got a spiritual being that works in memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. We know that. We're human beings. But God is greater than anything. Anything that you got, any problem. But you got to open up and give it to him. Oh, hallelujah. Let's sing one more song. This is life, people. That's death out there. This is life.
Oh, I'm learning to lean.
Worship just a moment.
I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Are you willing to give it up? Give it up, people. Give it up. Hey, this is our surrender. This is, the world knows when you put both hands up that you've surrendered and you don't have nothing else. Now, one hand, you might have a gun behind your back. But if you put both hands up, that's a surrender. I'm surrendering.
Learning to lead. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever dreamed. The Lord, this is a day of your salvation. You just got to say that it is that day. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And any man, remember, there's not a doorknob on that door. You got the doorknob on the inside. He'll not bust the door down to try to get into your heart. No, he'll call you. He'll knock. But one day he's going to turn away from that door. And you're not going to hear that knock again. The next knock you hear is going to be at a white throne judgment for you to give an account of why you didn't give your heart to God. And God, please don't let it ever be that day. Amen? You love the Lord? There's a day coming, folks, when you won't have another chance. There was a day when Noah built an ark. And remember, Noah didn't shut the door of the ark. God shut the door. God knew when it was over. God knew when it was finished. God knew when it was time to shut the door. There wasn't another person going to come into the ark. And I promise you, there were some fingernails on that door the next day and the next day till that water killed every person in the earth. There were fingernails on that ark trying to get on that ark. Don't ever let that door close on you, okay? All minds clear? You love the Lord? Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for being with us, coming among us in a special way, Lord. We feel, and we've said about a year ago, Lord, you told us that I'll not leave them. I'll come back and get them. And Lord, I see you coming back and getting them now. You're getting into the hearts of the people and you're giving them a desire to serve you, Lord. You said you'd never leave us or never forsake us. Lord, let us hold on to that and keep holding on, Lord, and seeing these ones that, Lord Jesus, we were out in the world ourselves for many years doing what we wanted to do. But Lord, one day you knocked for the last time. You said, buddy, this is it. This is your last chance. And thank God I opened the door and let Jesus Christ in my heart. Father, I pray that today, Lord, there's many sitting here or standing here in this building, Lord, that need you. Father, I pray that they not have a restless night tonight, that you'll stir their water so much, Lord, until they cry out to you in the middle of the night. And Lord, that you be their satisfying portion. Lord, having you in our heart is not going to take away all of our troubles, but it sure will make our troubles easier to get through. Lord, forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes that we make against you, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses. You told us to pray. Lord, I pray that the people that are here, Lord, that are visitors, that you would bless them, Lord, and take care of them. Lead them and guide them into all truth, Father. Bless this day. Be with the ones that are sick, Lord. Until we come back together at 2:00, we pray that you'd just sanctify us, Lord, for this journey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.
For seeing, I'm learning.